This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Well, 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 sex, health and well-being in our LGBTI communities.
Presented by Joy sponsor VAC, the Victorian AIDS Council.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. Welcome to tonight's episode of Well, 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 your show for health, sex and well-being. I'm your host, Cal, and joining me in the studio tonight is my co-host, Liam. Tonight we are talking about all things sexual. Oh, there's the music that I've been waiting for all my life.
Oh my gosh, that was a terrifying 10 seconds.
That's all right. We're here and we're here and we're queer and we're talking about marriage equality yet again this week on Well, Well, Well. Tonight we are talking about allies. We are talking about straight allies in particular and the support that is coming from outside of that LGBTI community. Liam, I have to say, you know, I've talked about this before. My job is communications over at VAC, and I have been a little bit thrown this last couple days from the media coverage, because you see polls coming out and you're saying we're losing ground. The no vote is getting some more things. I do think that what happened with Tony Abbott at the end of the week last week surely wasn't helpful. He used it as an opportunity to really have a go at the Yes campaign, and I hate to think that that's actually done some damage.
Yeah, and the fact that people are getting all agitated about a text message that was randomly generated.
And people were kind of using it as, see, this is the beginning of the end and catastrophizing the situation. But one of the things that I have found really reassuring is the straight allies that we have out there in the community.
Yeah.
So, in fact, it almost sounds like a joke, but I put it up on Facebook saying, you know, promoting tonight's show. And I said, you know, what do a uniting church minister, a footy club CEO, and a door-knocking campaign volunteer have in common? And said, you know, listen to Well, Well, Well tonight here on Joy 94.9. Well, what those two things have in common is they're all guests on tonight's show.
Yeah.
And they're all going to be talking to us about why they're supporting marriage equality and why they think the issue matters, why it matters to them. All three don't necessarily have a vested interest. It's not about their brother, or their sister, or their mom, or them. But in fact, what they just think is the right thing to do.
Yeah, which is, I guess, something that I hadn't really thought about that much until very recently. I mean, we exist sometimes in a little bit of a bubble, and I know I'm very much guilty of that. And then when you realize that there are people who don't have a stake in this matter, who actually care about us.
And some are incredibly passionate about it, as we'll hear tonight.
It throws you a little bit, and it you know, gives you a bit of a lift.
Yeah, and it's good to know, you know, we are about health and well-being, and I think it's really great to know that there are people out there who have our back and that are concerned about our health and well-being as well. And we're going to talk to three of them tonight. That will be the St. Kilda CEO, Matt Finnis, the Uniting Church Minister, Executive Minister, Rick Holland, and a marriage equality volunteer who I just met over the weekend, but I brought in because she is a firecracker and has a lot to say.
Oh,
and
my God, does she ever.
I love her so much. And so Mandy will be joining us later in the show. You are listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Sophie Monk, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9, and we are talking to various organizations and groups out there supporting marriage equality, where you might least expect it in some instances. I'm hosting tonight, Cal. I'm joined by my co-host, Liam, and we are now joined by St. Michael's Uniting Church in Melbourne's Executive Minister, Reverend Rick Holland. Thanks for so much for joining us. What should we call you, Reverend Rick?
No, I just call me Rick.
Call you Rick. All right. Well, look, we'll get right into it. You guys, you know, got a bit of press about a month ago about a sign in front of the church supporting same-sex marriage. How did that all come about?
Well, let me first tell you the amazing thing about that sign. I mean, I've been a very pro-gay minister and person all my life. But when I decided to put the sign up, I just got the sign printed and I went out to put it on Collins Street. And as I was putting it up, this is amazing. As I was putting up, people who just happened to be passing by stopped and started cheering and clapping. And it brought a tear to my eye. I thought, wow, this is Melbourne. this is Melbourne.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly encouraging. And a crowd formed. And I can't help myself when a crowd forms. So I just burst into what you might call open-air preaching.
Ah.
And I said, I want this church to be the first church in Melbourne to conduct a same-sex marriage. And some guy shouted out, and I want it to be me. I said, you got it. Why did we do it? Well, we did it because we have an absolute passion for this cause. And the passion is not marriage equality. The passion is equality. There's a difference. One of the things that really gets me very, very angry, you will have heard this with many of the No campaign. They start with this awful phrase. Oh, yes, I've got many of my friends who are gay. How many times do you hear that? Well, I haven't got any gay friends at all. I've just got friends.
Yeah.
See the difference?
Yeah. Yes.
I've just got friends. I don't count them whether they're tall or short or thin or fat or black or white. They're just friends. And that is all about equality. And for me, that's an absolutely central message for the church. And somebody like Lyle Shelton, who's actually claiming just the opposite, in my view, is totally contrary to the whole of the Christian teaching and principles that I stand for.
And that's interesting because, of course, so many people, I think, to put that divide line where they say a lot of the No campaign are people who are religious or people of a faith. And I guess, that's exactly why we have you on the air, just to say, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it gets me very angry because for me, and let me tell you, I've got one of the biggest churches in the city at St. Michael's on the corner of Collins and Russell. Yeah. I was preaching to 600 people yesterday. That's a big congregation, and I've got massive support. So these are people, Christian people, who are going to church every day, ordinary people, all of whom claim massive, massive support for same-sex marriage. So people who say, the Christian view on same-sex marriage is a no, that's wrong. Now, take my church out of it. I have loads and loads of contacts with other churches, not just the Uniting Church, of which I'm a minister.
Yep.
And this predominantly is the view across the vast majority, in my experience, of the Christian church. You referred earlier to the Facebook thing that my photograph that went out with.
Yeah, that's right.
2 million hits, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And I got a phenomenal response from people within the church. Massive. Interestingly enough, I lost count to several hundred, because I started counting them, of priests, Catholic priests, who are supporting same-sex marriage. They were all yes people. And a whole lot of them said, but don't tell the bishop. and I think that's the case. I think there's a whole lot of people who think that that's what the church is saying, but it's not what I'm saying.
Yep.
And for me, that is absolutely right, because the Christian message is about equality. It's not about saying that one section of the community is somehow different, is somehow preferred than another section of the community. Not at all. Not at all. We're all in this together.
And I guess, do you think, you were saying you have contacts across, other parts of the Christian faith and stuff as well. Do you think there's any difference? Because you did mention at the very beginning that you've thought, yes, this is Melbourne. Do you think it's different in regional and rural areas or other states? Or do you, your experience says that...
Well, I don't know, because I haven't got that degree of experience in other places.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, I love the city, and I just loved the notion of people who just happened by chance to be walking past the sign. And I didn't get anybody shouting out no, and I didn't get any abuse. It just happened to be the people who were there. One would expect that other states outside Victoria are a bit more conservative and perhaps a bit more likely to be no. But recent surveys, for example, in Western Australia suggests the opposite to that. Only yesterday, I think there was a WA survey which said something like 68% yes. So I don't know. Yeah. It's crazy that we're having to go through this. It's just ridiculous.
Indeed. It's not necessarily, I think we spoke to Tina and Brady from the Marriage Equality Campaign a few weeks ago, and he said, look, it's not the process I think a lot of us wanted, but it's the process that we have and we
That's
are going
exactly
through
right.
it.
Yeah.
And considering that we are going through it, so you didn't get any no's on the day that you had this, you know, informal congregation on the street, but have you had much backlash otherwise?
I've had a little bit, not much.
Not much.
The vast majority of response that I've had, both online, in writing, yep. And personal response, I don't know, I haven't actually done the percentages, but it will be something like about 90% positive response. It's interesting, given that I'm a Christian minister, the negative response, but I've had this throughout the whole of my ministry, the negative response has actually come from the hard line, what I would call the right-wing fundamentalist church, who actually holds a very strong literalist view of the Bible. Who claim, of course, that the Bible says, you know, that same-sex marriage is wrong. Well, actually, it doesn't. Even if you use that as the source, and I don't have that understanding of the Bible as the source anyway, because I'm not a literalist. My understanding of the Bible is that, yeah, it's a fantastic collection of writings that have been compiled over 2,000 years. But if you want to use it as a literal document, as an argument against, for example, homosexuality, then at the same time, you've got to be in favour of the demise of women. You've got to be in favour of slavery.
Yeah. I think I recall a particularly interesting passage that I remember when my younger brother was playing up around disobedient children. I think stoning was in line at some point there.
Oh, that's right.
Interesting. Right. Interesting there. But look, speaking of family, for anybody out there listening who maybe they're a little bit worried about having this conversation with their family to see where their family stands because they know from religious views, this is a common story that we hear in the LGBTI community, is that people are kind of worried about starting that conversation with their family because they think, oh, my family's religious. Would you have any advice to them?
Well, the first thing is, I mean, if the family is a predominantly conservative family, and be it Christian or any other religion, the first thing that we really need to hold very, very strongly is that that it is about all religions are about people being equal. Of course they are. So you can't say that one section of the community are any more or less equal than anybody else. And the big thing that a lot of conservative families are claiming at the moment, and it's because the No campaign are really pushing very hard on this, they're trying to divert the centrality of the campaign. So they're claiming, oh, that it'll take away religious freedom and all that sort of stuff. Well, I want to say to all families who are religious, Christian or otherwise, it applies to other religions as well, that in the, 20-odd countries, 25 countries, I think, in the world that have actually now legalized same-sex marriage, well, the sky hasn't fallen in, and in fact, it hasn't in any way, this is a really, really important point, it hasn't in any way affected religious freedom. Religious freedom, even for the conservative end of the church, still exists. Even before this whole silly campaign, the Catholic Church had total freedom not to marry divorced people. I'm a Christian minister in the Uniting Church. I have total freedom if straight couples come to me and say they want to get married, I can choose to marry them or not. That will continue. It makes no difference. Mm. And it's an absolute furphy, I think, to claim that this is an issue about religious freedom. It's not. It's a straightforward issue about a contract between two people who are wanting publicly to commit themselves to each other and thereby to actually have the same rights and obligations as other people. That's all it is. That's the thing that I would want to say to families who for whom they might find it difficult as far as their kids are concerned, that this is actually about family. Of course it is, you know. The fact that I believe in marriage so strongly supports my whole notion of same-sex marriage. Of course it does. And so it's actually supporting what you might say is the religious interpretation of family, two people committing themselves to each other.
Fantastic. And look, just on a final note, since we've been doing this series here, we've been talking about how people can seek support and seek self-care and whatnot as well. If someone wanted to be able to come to the church just to get that sort of support, like I myself come from a religious Christian background, and I think that in the faces of this, sometimes people are afraid to maybe approach the church again. If people wanted to come to the Uniting Church, what's a good opportunity to do that?
Well, the first thing I'd want to say is the Uniting Church has got, even before this, the Uniting Church generally has already got a pretty liberal outlook as far as LGBTI community is concerned. Within our church, we are the only church in Australia, for example, that accepts a number of our ministers who are themselves gay, both men and women. We have a whole lot of ministers from an LGBTI background who are living with their partners in the manses of those churches and are conducting a ministry within the Uniting Church. So that's if any LGBTI person will rock up to a Uniting Church anywhere, they will be accepted, and it's just and there will not be any criticism at all. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I think we are certainly the first church that are looking very, very seriously at being able to accept the whole notion of same-sex marriage within our church. And I expect once the legality of this thing has gone through that we will be the first church to follow.
Fantastic. That is, we are in the studio with Executive Minister Rick Holland from St. Michael's Uniting Church in Melbourne. Thank you so much for joining us on Well.
My pleasure to be with you, and any LGBTI people are very welcome to come to my church at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and I will welcome them with a wonderful embrace, I promise.
Well, you heard it here on Well, here on Joy 94.9.
This is Well, presented by Joy sponsor VAC on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Well here on Joy 94.9. We are talking to various organizations that are allies in the marriage equality debate, especially on the yes side. I'm Cal. I'm joined by my co-host Liam. And we are joined now by St. Kilda Football Club CEO Matt Finnis. Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, boys.
So before we get down to marriage equality, St. Kilda Football Club has made an effort prior to this to be more inclusive of LGBTI people with the Pride Cup. And I guess let's just start by asking, why do you think it's important for a football club to, you know, take on this initiative?
Oh, well, it's really important because at the end of the day, we want everyone to feel a sense of belonging to their footy club. It's such a powerful feeling which drives so much emotion and connection. And what we discovered was that we had like a section of our community, of our supporter base, which didn't really feel like they belonged or really included at the footy, because when they went along, they were exposed to homophobic language or you know, didn't feel safe. And so for us, you know, it was about, well, what can we do to change that? And you know, the Pride game was one of those initiatives, you know, as has been a number of other pieces of education and marching at Pride and events which we've involved our supporters in, which, you know, we're really pleased that it has shifted the dial, and the feedback we're getting from fans is they do feel welcome when they come to their game. They see symbols of Pride amongst the crowd, whether it's the beanies, the scarves, the flags, and you know, we're just thrilled to just play our small part.
Well, that's excellent. And I guess now you guys have, with the marriage equality debate, it's been another opportunity to kind of reinforcing some of that messaging. How's that been?
Yeah, look, we just saw that as a natural extension. It's such an important time right now. And as allies of the LGBTI community, and certainly on behalf of our, you know, supporters, we just thought it was really important that we, you know, send out our support for marriage equality. It's the right thing. I guess we're, many of us are a little mystified about, you know, the fact that we're having this debate and this plebiscite, but the reality is we are, and we thought it was important that we send a message what we stand for.
So many clubs have said very little on the matter, with only 7 showing concrete support and a sort of lukewarm response from Carlton. Why do you think some clubs are more supportive than others?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. I mean, I'd imagine various clubs are at different stages of, you know, of looking into the elements of their communities which make up their supporter base. I'd imagine clubs feel a little reticent about getting involved in politics, you know, each club's got their own reason, but you know, ourselves and you know, many AFL clubs, certainly the AFL itself, have been, you know, pretty unequivocal, I think, in showing that support. And you know, whilst not everyone necessarily agrees with that, certainly the support has significantly outweighed any criticism.
So you also actually, I looked up your statement that you guys had put out previously, and I loved one of these quotes here where you say, "We fervently believe in equality amongst people in all walks of life, in employment, education, sport, and community involvement. Equality improves workplaces, service delivery, and society in general by allowing everyone to be treated with equal respect and feel included." I guess, is this, you know, and I think the AFL talked about this when they converted their sign to the yes sign. I guess, was there a conscious effort to, you were talking a lot about the fans, but are there other stakeholder groups aside from just the fans, I guess, that are involved with the organization that this might impact?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, there's lots of different stakeholders. We have, you know, sponsors and, you know, community partners and local government and players and coaches. So, you know, there's any number of different stakeholders that you represent as a footy club. But we just thought it's really important that our stakeholders know what we stand for. And I guess because we've been allies of the LGBTI community, because we've been focusing on inclusion for a little while now, I don't think anyone was surprised by the position that we've taken.
Fantastic. And what's that reaction been from stakeholders? Have they been pretty receptive so far, or has it been mixed?
Well, I might say it was unanimous, but that wouldn't be true. We've had some members who have indicated that they don't believe their club should be involved in advocating within a political debate. And we can respect that. We don't agree with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not telling our members, you know, if you don't vote yes, then you can't be part of our club.
Yeah.
We're just saying, you know, as a board, as an executive, as a club, this is what we believe, and we want to be really clear about that.
Excellent. Well, look, I think it sounds like what you were saying, too, about that point of the journey of the club is that maybe you guys, in a way, were actually primed for this issue, considering your involvement with the Pride game as well beforehand. So it has been wonderful to kind of see clubs like yourself kind of step up and take a stance on this, because I think we've talked about it here on the show before, because we generally talk about well-being and health, and we've talked about homophobia in sport and the impacts that have, because obviously sport can be something that greatly improves your health in a number of ways. But it has been great to have you kind of involved in that regard. Is there anything that St. Kilda is doing that, you know, if anyone wants to get involved, or kind of members from the LGBTI community, is there a fan base there like there are at some of the other clubs?
Yeah, so we've got a group called Saints Pride, and you can get in touch with them through Facebook, and they organise a range of events and activities, all throughout the year, an opportunity for people to get involved. I think it's a great way for someone who hasn't really been involved in footy before, but think they might like to get involved, to do so, you know, with a group of people who will make them really welcome and hopefully make their experience a really positive one.
And just quickly before we finish, do you think it's a coincidence that the two of the teams that have come out in support of marriage equality are St Kilda and Collingwood, and that's the two biggest gayborhoods in Melbourne?
Look, I don't think it's a coincidence. I always say, you know, it's no coincidence that the annual celebration of sexual diversity in Victoria is a march down the main street of St Kilda.
Fair enough.
And so, you know, as footy clubs which grew out of communities, you know, our job is to reflect and represent those communities. So, I guess it doesn't surprise me. I hadn't spent a lot of time reflecting on it, but I'm not always saying good on the Pies, but maybe on this occasion, well done.
Yeah, well, look, you guys, St Kilda soon to be home to Victoria's first Pride Centre as well in the next couple of years. So you guys are onto a good thing down there. Matt, thank you so much for joining us on the show this week. Thank you for your support around marriage equality. And hopefully we see a good positive outcome in the near future.
Thanks very much for having me, James.
Thanks very much. You're listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. And I actually must say, this is Cal and Liam, of course. And that sponsored announcement from Stand Up Straight is a great kind of sponsored announcement to have on this week, because we are talking to several straight allies across the community. Earlier on, we had the minister, Rick Holland, from the Uniting St. Michael's Uniting Church in Melbourne. And we actually had a message in about that earlier that said, "Thank you so much, Rick. Your words of love and acceptance restores my faith in the world," which is always very, very nice to hear.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yes, if you want to message into the show, feel free at 0427 joy 949 for an SMS, or shoot us an email here in studio at onair@joy.org.au. And now we're joined by our third ally of the night, Mandy. How are you going?
I'm going very well, thank you.
Very good. So, Mandy, we met just this weekend for the first time, and when we first met, I was asking, what's your volunteer involvement? Have you been volunteering for VAC? Have you been volunteering for others in the community? And you were saying, no, you've really come out of the woodwork specifically for marriage equality.
Yes.
And so what's the motivation? Do you have a brother that's gay? Do you have a parent who's gay? What's brought you to us?
Okay. I have some gay friends, but to me, it's my intention is not so much altruistic. It's about saying, what kind of Australia do I want to live in? And I want to live in a country where everyone is treated equally under the law. And the law at the moment is inequitable.
And that is fantastic. That's a great summary right then and there. And I guess I have to ask as well, because I think people at home are going to go, okay, what's the story with this lady here? So have you done a lot of door knocking before? Have you been like at protests all the time? Is this, you know, part of a larger portfolio?
Not exactly, no. I protest for things that are important to me. I have never door knocked before.
How was that experience?
I was fairly nervous. I'm actually an introvert, so you know there's trouble when the introverts come out.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
And I'll say, obviously we met door knocking together. Mm-hmm. I'm the opposite. I'm a bit of an extrovert there. I've said it there. Fine, everyone.
What?
Right here first. Breaking news on Joy. But I found it confronting myself. Mm. I think there was this, I don't know, I guess it, for lack of a better term, fear of, you kind of don't know what's going to answer the door. And I suppose, and there's little situations where they prep you for it and you have a script, right? They briefed us on all of this. But then something comes up, like the first building we went to had an intercom. And we were like, oh, so this isn't like someone answering the door. We're going to have to do this script over the intercom. How does that work? And, you know, it's fine once you get going. But I found the experience confronting. I mean, you said you felt... But you did it.
Yes. And it was a really positive experience. Everyone was lovely. Even people that you knew had voted no with just like, no, I'm not interested, or I've posted my vote. The yes voters were fantastic. They were happy to chat. And most of them had actually already filled in their surveys and posted them. A few hadn't. And those were actually people that had been away.
So what part of town were you actually hitting with this?
On Saturday, we hit St Kilda East, and on Sunday, we did West Brunswick.
And did you find any sort of differences between the two suburbs?
In St Kilda East, a lot of people weren't home, and it has a high Jewish population, and there was the comment made that Jewish people can't actually open the door on Saturday or respond to their email to their survey on a Saturday because of their own religious beliefs. West Brunswick was fantastic. There were lots of yes posters, lots of rainbow. One of the guys who was home when we knocked said yes, he'd returned his survey already, and we were walking out the garden and he came running out and said, "Have you got a poster?" And we said, "Yeah, here, have one." And he went back inside, and 2 seconds later that was in his window.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'll share with you one of the stories that I had. We were kind of going around and working our way through the blocks, and a younger woman answered the door and said, "Oh yeah, we've already, very sort of straight faced, said, oh yeah, we've already received our surveys." And I'm sort of thinking it was going to be what you said, where it was when we've posted our vote and there was going to be nothing more about it, thinking, oh, it's maybe a potential no voter. And she said, "We posted our surveys. We did vote yes." And I said, "Oh, okay, great. Make sure to tell your family and friends, at least 5 people, the kind of scripted response you want there along the way." And we thought, okay, well, that's sort of the end of this interaction. We sort of said, "Oh, do you want a yes badge?" And she said, yeah, that would be great. And then she said, "Can I have one more, actually?" And another thing, this is really important to me and my partner. I'm actually part of a lesbian couple, and what you guys are doing makes a huge difference to us. And I sort of, awesome. Even like saying it back right now, I got a little bit like, oh, okay, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And just, I think it makes a big difference to people in that regard, I guess.
Yes, yeah. And yesterday when we were at West Brunswick, we hadn't even knocked on the door and it flew open and one of the women yelled down the hall, "It's the yes people!" and it was a lesbian couple and they were so adorable. They were so excited.
When we were talking before the show as well, we were talking about how you went to the Melbourne rally for marriage equality as well, and you went with a friend of yours.
Yes.
And you had sort of an interesting experience because you wanted to take a placard this time.
Yep.
And so what happened with your friend? I guess was he a bit concerned about the placard?
Yeah, my friend comes from Perth, which is not as accepting as Melbourne, and he was concerned about taking his placard on public transport. And I'm a bit of a firecracker when I'm passionate. And because it's not about me personally, I feel I can take more of a stand as well. And I also actually think it's my responsibility too, because I'm not afraid. You know, they're not going to attack me personally. And so I said to him, he said to me, you know, do I need to put a bag over this on the train? And of course I was like, are you kidding me? No way. And so I said I would go to his house and we would travel together on the train. And he was still a bit nervous, but when we got on the train, there were these women in their rainbow outfits and we got on and they were saying, oh, see, I told you, we should have got signs as well. and it was beautiful. And afterwards, we went to one of the bars in Federation Square and the guys were inside getting drinks and a guy in a Melbourne Storm outfit said to me, oh, can I get a photo of you with your sign? And another woman came up and said, oh, I want a photo with you and the sign. And, yeah, so it was, you know, the support is out there. And one of the things I really want to say is that it's not just members of the gay community. You're not alone. There are a lot of heterosexual people that are standing with you because this is about equality and we're all the same. So, yeah, I want you to take heart from that because I think at the moment a lot of people can be feeling very lonely and very isolated and that's a really horrible feeling.
That is, I think that's a really powerful statement, Manny, and I'm so glad you said it. I'm so glad we met this weekend.
I know, it's fantastic.
It's been a very reassuring thing to me. I said earlier in the show that, you know, I found the latest survey reports and whatnot a little bit disheartening, and you get the baloney over the weekend with, you know, Tony Abbott and whatnot, with the faux yes voter headbutting him, who was apparently just someone that didn't like Tony Abbott very much. But Manny, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for your words of support, and thank you for doing what you're doing, because it's a great example and a model really to everyone, regardless of their gender, sex, or sexuality. Good on you.
Well, thank you. And can I just thank you for the opportunity of being involved?
Absolutely.
That's really important too.
Yeah. Look, well, thank you so much. You know, I'm going to have to talk to Stand Up Straight and you might have to come in for another chat sometime soon because I feel like we could talk to you all night.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. You are listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. I'm Cal and I'm joined by my co-host Liam. Liam, I am feeling better than we were 42 minutes ago.
It's been a really uplifting show, I think.
And even just Mandy's words there at the very end about that you guys are not alone, that this issue is for us as well, and that in that it's the Australia that we want to live in and that we want to see, has been really, really reassuring. Rick is a firecracker in his own right as well, around saying, you know, the Australian so-called, as you referred to it earlier, is the so-called Christian lobby does not speak for all Christians. I think is wonderful. And that I think that, you know, that you've got support like Mandy and you've got the support of, you know, kind of cultural leaders like footy clubs, like St. Kilda with Matt.
I mean, I'm a big footy fan and to have the CEO of one of the oldest football clubs standing up and the other six football clubs who have also stood up. It's a shame that my football club hasn't, but, you know, maybe in time.
I think this is really about, you know, the community is coming together and it can be a little bit, we feel a bit shaky when we see the media coverage and it seems like, you know, they're taking a little bit of a, you know, the selling headlines. So it's going to go back and forth a bit.
Yep.
But we've had some great messages come in. We've actually had two other, the brief but beautiful. So we've had thank you for helping us. And then we've also had my straight neighbor and queer me voted yes. And so I think that's the thing is that, you know what, look, even if this is close and heaven forbid it's a no, but whatever it is, there is a huge amount of the community coming out and saying that, you know, this process isn't great. This is the process we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But the no is not good enough. And that there will be a lot of people in opposition, you know. And I think if we do get a resounding yes, that there will be a lot of people to follow up and say, okay, you put us through this. Now let's get this done.
Yeah.
So it's been a very powerful one this week, I think, for me personally. We will be back next week, of course, for Well, 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 and have a bit more of a chat about marriage equality. And I do think it'll be good when this is sort of all done and we can talk about the other big-hitting health issues affecting our LGBTI communities.
Yeah, we've devoted, I think it's all up going to be maybe 5 or 6 episodes.
Yeah, 5 episodes. We basically just dedicated the month of September to it. And I think we're going to get one more at the start of October, just to kind of follow on the grand final there. And then, and we'll get back to the broader LGBTI health issues, because there is a heck of a lot of them out there. But yeah, if you've had any other thoughts, and feel free to keep those messages coming in, 0427-JOY-949 or on air at joy.org.au. It's been 4 weeks of marriage equality between you and I, Liam. We've had Michael and Renee come in along the way as well. But
flit in and out.
Yeah, I almost kind of forgot back to it. But if you have missed any of these episodes, you can always catch them on joy.org.au/well, well, well, or on your podcasting method of choice.
But iTunes Store predominantly.
iTunes, yeah, there you go. All right, fair enough. Well, look, and we looked at a few different things. In the first week, we talked about self-care and also music therapy, because we introduced the Equality mixtape that song was, of course, from. We talked to the music therapist, Jason, from Melbourne Uni, and we talked to Grace from VAX Counseling Team. And then we kind of, following week, as people were getting fired up, we talked to Tina and Brady from the Equality Campaign and Felicity Marlowe, who was part of the people that brought it forth to the High Court to say, you know, is this totally legitimate, which of course the High Court said, yep, we're going ahead with it. Yes. And then we talked about different ways you can look after yourself. So last week we were talking about people that are taking creative action. We talked to Matt O'Lucas with his performance art piece, but also talked about some of the murals and art, public street art, that have kind of come out of the woodwork here in Melbourne. And then of course this week we talked about our straight allies. So we had thank you to all three of them. So we had the executive minister at St. Michael's Uniting Church here in Melbourne, Rick Holland, Reverend Rick Holland. Then we had CEO of the St. Kilda Football Club, Matt Finnis, and of course, last but surely not least, our own grassroots volunteer, Mandy, who I met door knocking over the weekend for the Yes campaign.
We've had a lot of fun guests over the last month.
And a lot of people that are super passionate about this, coming from all different angles, which is really encouraging. And so if you are feeling the need to be supported out there, or if you need some additional help, because this is grinding on and kind of wearing away at all of us, I know I'm feeling it, be sure to check in with all of your LGBTI services that are out there. There's Queer Space at Drummond Street. You've got the VAC Counseling Service. We've got Switchboard is a great resource, especially if you're further afield and looking for other safe spaces to be able to kind of engage in. And of course, there's a lot of great resources online as well. And there's both ACON and VAC are passing on the Staying Strong in the Face of the Marriage Equality Debate 10 steps there that you can actually check out on the VAC website at vac.org.au. I think we've shared that on social media along the
way. Yeah, a couple of times.
Yeah. And of course, what we're also sharing on social media is the Equality Mixtape, which a lot of these songs were featured on, or going to be featured on, I suppose. How's that all going, Liam?
It's going great. We've actually had a lot of engagement over the last 2 weeks.
And so what do you mean by that? People were just taking 5 minutes out of their day and rocking out to the music?
Yeah. Lots of people listening to the songs, commenting underneath that, suggesting things that they think will make good additions to the mixtape. Some pretty obscure choices, but also some nice mainstream ones.
Very good. And are people sharing stories with these songs?
Yeah, a couple of people have shared really great stories. There was one story about a song from the early, in the late 90s, where the guy said that it was a song that he was afraid to admit that he liked, because people would think he was gay when he was in high school.
Yep.
But then as an adult, he just really, really loves listening to it, because it reminds him of how happy he is as an adult gay man, and how he's living his life free, and how he's not ashamed that he loves Nikki Webster's Strawberry Kisses.
Excellent. And nor should he be ashamed of that. And look, I do think that we are hearing a little bit of, you know, we are hearing some of the ugly side of the debate at the moment. I actually know on Friday, you know, Tony Abbott got headbutted by this guy who apparently had nothing to do with the Yes campaign, but got a sticker put on him earlier in the day. a lot of other people who have actually sort of said, oh, you know, we're hearing, starting to get some negative feedback from people when you hear stuff on social media. And I do encourage people, you know, be careful how much time you kind of delve into that, because you can spiral into a bit of a pit.
Yeah. Don't read the comments, guys.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I definitely avoid the comments. And also, if you're picking up a newspaper and you see one too many headlines there that probably are a little bit like wearing down on you, maybe put the damn thing down.
Yeah.
And take a break, because I definitely had to do that today.
And call someone that you like, someone who cheers you up.
Yeah. Or, you know, listen to a song that uplifts you, which is the whole point of the Equality Mixtape.
Listen to Nikki Webster's Strawberry
Kisses. There you go. Hashtag Equality Mixtape. If you check it out on Twitter and on Facebook, the VAC playlist is what's mostly showing up on it at the moment, which is great. And yeah, I think the other thing is too, is I made a point, I was talking to a few people on Friday about, you know, I don't think anybody in the Yes campaign really condones this violence. And you heard TNN Brady, who was on the show, and several others come out and say, we're not condoning violence for any reason. This is supposed to be a respectful debate about dignity and about equality.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a couple other people also joined myself, actually, in saying that also, I don't want to see this be a platform for Tony Abbott to lecture us as a community on bullying or violence, because the fact of the matter is that this is someone who's proffered, you know, much rhetoric that sort of suggests that kind of behavior. And we're a community that knows that, unfortunately, all too well throughout history. Mm-hmm. And hopefully getting marriage equality will be a step in direction in removing that. So that is Well, Well, Well for another week. As I mentioned, if you missed any part of this episode or any of the previous episodes, head over to www.joy.org.au/well, well, well. That's it for another week. Join us next week at 8 p.m. on Monday night, when we'll be doing one final episode of Marriage Equality. I'm sure it won't be the last time we talk about it. That's here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.